are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summerlin Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand.
We're back at the races, a little bit past, 15 past, make it close to 20 now, into hour two. Nice half hour with Milt Toby. I just so enjoy his visits. The books are wonderful, and of course the Dancer's Image story, obscured at this point by history, and it's a tough topic, and he handled it incredibly well. And Canonero, Dancer's Image, you can tell it, and now a Shergar treatment. Milt loves the the historic and the slightly obscure. That for journalists, I mean, that's not unusual to be drawn to that kind of story. So I'm just about to, I'll send out a link to the opportunity for you to pre-order. And again, Kentucky Press, if you want to follow Kentucky Press on Twitter too, the University Press of Kentucky, and it's Kentucky Press as a Twitter moniker. Tony Black is standing by, and the excitement is building out in Bensalem, Kentucky, Pennsylvania Derby, and Cotillion Day, 48 hours away. Tony, good morning.
Yeah, 48 hours away, and I was out there this morning. The track's in excellent condition. It was just beautiful. Got on some horses, and they were closing it early so the stake horses could train. I should have stayed there, and watched all the good horses that shipped in. Maybe I could have helped some of those trainers out. I always have an opinion, Steve. I might have seen something they were missing, but I didn't stay. I said, let me get home. I have some things I have to take care of here because I'm going to be out there probably all day Saturday. And I'm sure you're going to be there.
Yes.
And Jocks and Jeans is going to be there with Barry Pearl and his entourage. It'll be a really exciting day and a nice day. And I've got everything covered here at home that day, so I can be there most of the day. But it was really interesting that... It would have really been interesting to stand there and watch some of these horses train, because most of them shipped in. I mean, I would have just loved to see them, because you can't get enough of good horses to view at any racetrack. But on Derby Day, Cotillion Day, it's just wonderful and it's exciting. And I'm just glad that even if I'm not directly a part of it, but I'm at a track that I've been at for so many years and I'm part of that track.
Well, this card, because it's much more even than just the two features,
absolutely.
You know. But they both marched up through the ranks as graded stakes to grade ones and $1 million purses, and they drew the kinds of fields that $1 million races are supposed to draw. But then you fold in the Gallant Bob, you fold in the rather clever older horse event, the Pennsylvania Derby winner. Each year, technically, it's supposed to be called the name of the previous year's winner. So this year it would be the West Coast. I think people haven't really gotten into the flow of it, but it that has drawn a nice group. And then the Alphabet Soup and a bunch of allowance races. I mean, the whole card that is part of the day has really kind of blossomed, you know, there are some frustrations, Tony, for horse players when it comes to things like the takeout structure at parks that inhibits people from playing, but at the same time, on a day like this, it's hard not to take an interest and to play, frankly, because the racing is so good.
Yeah, absolutely. The racing's so good, and the field sizes are above average field size for any place in the country. I mean, we have one short field, and it's 8 horses. This is, of course, before scratches. Everything else is 10, 11, 12 horse fields, 9, 10, 11, 12 horse fields. And the caliber of horse that runs there is phenomenal. Every race has, you know, really nice horses in it. And like you say, the Cotillion, you know, it's grade one, the Derby's grade one. It drew that kind of horses that you would expect a grade one to draw in a $1 million race. I was leaving the barn this morning, and I said when I won it was $50,000, and the Derby was $200,000, the Cotillion and the Derby. I says, but they were big races to us then, and now it's just phenomenal. I mean, we have all the name riders, name trainers, name horses coming to town. And I probably should have stayed and watched some of them just to see, watch them train. And, of course, you know, everybody's doing all they can do to accommodate these world-class horses and these trainers. You know, the management doing a fabulous job, and it's going to be exciting. It's not only going to be exciting to be there watching the races on Derby Day, you're going to be there. Now, what else can I ask for? Steve Bick, I'll be bouncing from your table to Barry Pearl's table to be downstairs. You know, I'll be all over that place, you know? It's going to be an exciting day. And, you know, get to talk, you were mentioning Dancer's Image, you know. Wasn't the treating the veterinarian Alec Hardhill for Dancer's Image? I believe he was the veterinarian that was taking care of the Dancer's Image. And it's just, I have to get that book because I'm sure he was the veterinarian, and I'm sure he was interviewed if he was before his passing. They've done some documentaries on TV on Dancer's Image, and he was mentioned in there. And I just had the honor of being around Doc Hardhill in the latter stages of his career and life. And I still maintain, I told you last week, contact with Alexis, his daughter.
Yeah.
And her horse ran all right. I mean, in the Pocahontas. The winner won by 20, and she got beat 5 lengths and finished 5th. So not a disgrace when you have a horse that wins by 19 or 20 lengths. You know, that's maybe we saw another good horse.
She's good. Serengeti Empress.
Yeah, maybe we just had the chance to witness, the next great Philly. So.
No, she's a serious
yeah.
Philly going forward. And we talked to Tom Amos the other day. And when you mentioned the Dancer's Image story and Peter Fuller and Abby comes to mind as it happens. Did you ride against Abby Fuller much?
I rode. She would chip in and out of tracks that I was at, either Meadowlands or Merlin. I remember Abigail Fuller, and I'm sure I rode in races with her. Can't remember any specific event, but you ride at tracks in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and these jocks show up and ride in several races that you've ridden in yourself. Probably did. I know when the Meadowlands opened, when Meadowlands was running, she would show up there every once in a while, and everybody knew the name Fuller, and they knew the name Abby.
No, of course, Mom's
Peter
Command,
Fuller.
And yep, it's that. I could bring you the copy of Dancer's Image if you want to.
I like to read some of the history and some of the historical events that have happened in racing. When Vanberg sent me a copy of his book, From Grit to Glory, after listening to me talk on the radio, I believe you gave him my address and phone number. And on that, I was so honored when he called me after we were talking about him, Jack Vanberg. We were talking about him one day, and I got a call from him. And I was really honored to get a call from him. He said, "You know who this is, boy?" And I said, "Yeah, Jack Vanberg. Your voice is familiar to everybody." And he says, "Yeah," and he says, "I appreciate the way you talked about me." And he was a great guy. I wrote a lot of winners for him when he had Shinrohn Farm. And Frank Kirby and him and Ed Payne had Strings of Horses. He says, "Well, I'm going to send you this book." And I says, "Well, Jack, I'll certainly be honored if you send it." He says, "Yeah, I'm signing a copy and sending From Grit to Glory. It just came out." And he sent me the copy. And I was kidding with him. I said, "Hope it has a lot of pictures in it, because that's the kind of books I like to read, the ones that have lots of pictures." And he laughed. He said, "Ah, you're typical Jack. You're typical Jack."
That's great. Well, looking forward, Tony, to getting down, and we're going to handicap mostly tomorrow. This card. There's also a cross country pick four that combines races. I think seven and eight. I know the Kelso is part of it, and then the Cotillion and the Derby. It'll be on regional television as it is every year. Management gets it on on television too, and a lot of big.
Yes, Comcast will probably carry it.
Yeah, Comcast, and you get. Yeah. I think you get Lafitte Benkei the third typically comes in to anchor, and everybody descends either.
I'm going to go out there and help Lafitte, because I know where, if he's coming in, where he's going to be stationed. I'm going out there and helping Lafitte and Dick Girardi and whoever else is sitting with him, because I know
Dick,
they can
That's
use
right.
my expertise. So I'll be there. And he's such a
him.
Good guy. I sat next to him one day, and it was a few years ago, and I said, "You know, the last time I sat next to a Benkei, it was Lafitte Benkei at Santa Anita. He was the 5 horse, I was the 3 horse. I was on My Juliet, and he was on Just a Kick, and I beat him." And he laughed. He thought that was funny, because I said, "That's the last time I sat next to a Benkei." But I hope he comes. I haven't heard officially if he is, but I hope. He does such a tremendous job. He's got the look, the voice, and the more important than anything, the knowledge of racing.
Well, and I'm going to tell you that Lafitte Benkei the third, LP3 as we call him here, he says, "Tony, better come by and say hello." He just he's providing an invitation. I don't know if they're going to slap you on the set, but he wants you to come see him.
Listen, you tell him I'm going to come by and say more than just hello. Because that wouldn't be my nature, just to say hello.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm a little long-winded at times.
I love it. I love it. Well, you told him yourself because he's listening. So
all right. I told his dad a couple, what was it, at Canterbury when I saw him. I says, man, your son does an unbelievable job. I says, he says, you should get a lot of credit for teaching him about horse racing. He says, wasn't just me, Tony. It wasn't just me. He said he learned a lot from a lot of people. I thought, man, what a humble individual. Didn't even want to take all the credit.
Well, we love the opportunities we get, especially when we're in California. We get LP out of, we get him out of bed early. Because I'm on 6 to 9, so we gotta roust him out, and he comes over to Clocker's Corner, and plus Breeders' Cup we'll look forward to. I mean, we're getting close too, and that, you know, that's been one of the things that they did, the move of this card, Tony.
Yeah.
The combining of the Pennsylvania Derby with the Cotillion and having them both into this portion of September ended up being a brilliant stroke, and the timing as a prep for Breeders' Cup worked, coming after Travers. You know, it used to be Labor Day weekend, and it was Pennsylvania Derby, and this move paid off so handsomely in terms of timing and positioning on the calendar.
Yeah, it was a brilliant move. Should we accredit Sal Sinatra and say brilliant? Brilliant move by Sal Sinatra. If he's listening, you know, I got to blow a little smoke, you know. No, but it was mainly his brainchild to do that. And you got to give him a lot of credit where credit's due. It was a fabulous move. It's a great timing and preps for the Breeders' Cup races. And, you know, he had enough foresight and knowledge of horse racing and what horses need to prep for the Breeders' Cup to put these races the date that he did. Like you said, brilliant move.
Well, we're looking forward to Saturday, and we're staying over, of course, and actually to go to the Eagle game on Sunday. This has worked out the last few years. It's become one of our favorite early fall weekends, and some years the Rittenhouse Square Art Show has been the same weekend, then we go to that, and Sunday there's also the off the track thoroughbred, the real Riders Cup up in Unionville, as well. I mean, there's so much going on, and when the fall season rolls around, and this is a big stop for us every year, and everybody will descend. It's supposed to be a gorgeous day as well. Tony, take us back to a couple of Pennsylvania Derbies. I mean, you certainly, and Cotillion, you have had your moments in these races.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough, like I say, to win it, but I rode in it, and times I didn't win it, but I was riding one of the favorites one year, a horse that finished fourth in the Kentucky Derby. Classic Go-Go was favorite in the Pennsylvania Derby, and Classic Go-Go was talented, little horse, nothing to look at, and always gave you his best. He was bordering on, I never want to call a horse ugly. He was bordering on unattractive, and he even had frostbitten ears that they just cut straight across, and they didn't even shape them or anything, just cut the tops of them off. But he was such a hard campaigner. I won several stakes on him, and that year they had Channel 3 or 6 coming in to do the television coverage, and I was riding at, I think, Arlington Park that year, and I flew in just for a couple days, and I rode him as an 8-5 favorite in Pennsylvania Derby, finished third. One of the, of course, the race I won on Devil's Honor. You know, Devil's Honor was such a hard campaigner and a tough horse, and would have been a contender. Honestly, would have been, because he was a talented individual. That year I rode the Kentucky Derby, but I rode his stablemate, which wasn't near what he was, a horse called In Contention. But he had gotten hurt, and I believe it was at Remington, after I won the prep to the Oklahoma Derby. I finished third in the Oklahoma Derby at Remington, and whatever race it was before the Kentucky Derby, he got hurt. Aaron Grider and me were head and head most of the way behind horses, and you know, we were kind of bouncing off of each other. And Aaron, I think, was, I was trying to keep him inside. He was trying to get out, and he wound up bouncing into my horse, and he stepped all over his hind one leg, cut it up real bad. And we, I believe that was the race that he got hurt in, and we missed running him in the Kentucky Derby. And Steve, not to be one of those ones, you know, he was the best horse. He could have been a contender. He honestly could have been a contender in the Kentucky Derby, because when we got him right again, we ran him in the Pennsylvania Derby, and Mike Smith tells the story better than ever. He says, I came to you around the head of the lane, put a neck on you, and here you reached and shook him up and came back and just beat me, you know, whatever I beat him by. But he was telling the young kids a story up in the jocks room last year when he came in to ride, what was it, West Coast? And I said, boy, you're really pumping me up, Mike. You're making me feel like a superstar telling this story, how I beat you and you rode Formal Gold. Yeah, but I've ridden it, you know, they were the two most memorable occasions I rode it. And like I said, the Cotillion, if you didn't tell me I won it, I still wouldn't have known I won it on suede shoes for Frank Whiteley. So that's... I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you think maybe I hit the ground too many times and them concussions have kind of put a hole in my memory. But, yeah, it's such a great race. And when you see it draw these kind of horses, and last year the horses it drew were good horses. And you know what? This year, if we'd have had Justify wasn't by the wayside, we might have drawn Justify, and we'd have seen a Triple Crown winner run in the Pennsylvania Derby. But we all know that story. But it's an exciting race. It's a great distance. It's a mile and an eighth. And it's going to be interesting. You know, there's only one thing that you might have, that you're going to miss doing, Steve, is you're not coming in on Friday night to the Derby dinner and dance.
We can't get there early enough. That's the problem. We've got to wait for Tina to get out of school.
Well, I'm trying to get there, and there's only one thing that would have topped your weekend off a little bit more than what it already is topped off. If you could have witnessed me on the dance floor at the Derby dinner and dance Friday night in Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia, Parks. You would have loved it. I mean, I might have taken Tina out on that dance floor, and she'd have been amazed.
No doubt.
She'd have been amazed or embarrassed.
Well.
Because Kylie tells me, she says, sometimes, you know, I watch you dance, and you think you're like John Travolta, and I think like you're John Revolta. That's Kylie's statement on my dancing.
Unbelievable. Well, I'm waiting for that day when we can watch you and Wayne Catalano out there back and forth, and we'll have a dance off between you and you and Wino. Unbelievable. We'll let the public decide. We'll put that up on Twitter, and people will vote. Tony Black or
make that TV
Wayne
show.
Catalano.
You think that show? What is it? Dance? You think you can dance?
That's right. That's right.
Might make that TV show.
Dancing with the jockey stars. They got jockey karaoke. Why not have jockey dance off?
I know I can't sing, but we could sure put on a show and dancing.
Too funny, Tony. Can't wait to see you. We'll see you Saturday afternoon. We'll be down. As early as possible, and it should be a fun day.
Yeah, going to be a great day, and be looking forward to it, and thanks for all you do, Steve. Looking forward to seeing you Saturday. Bye.
Tony Black, Pennsylvania Derby Day. He won it in, what did he say, 96, I think, 96. Devil's Honor for Walter Reese. We'll take a little past the bottom of the hour break. I want to slip in that visit with Ashley Burness before Steve Haskin joins us. Plenty more to do on this Thursday edition at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyersire.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here we go down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone. Oh,
back at the races, coming up on 15 to the top of the hour, and for some reason, I guess we all have to be talked into betting Johnny Bear every year now in the Northern Dancer, and the performance on Saturday, and the ride by Louis Contreras, the preparation by Ashley Burness, unbelievable. Johnny Bear repeats in the Grade 1 Northern Dancer, and I apologize first to Ashley for taking a couple of extra days to get to you, but congratulations to you and your dad and to Bear and everybody involved. What a great win.
It was a pretty... It was a pretty special day. I have to say, honestly, I called my dad after the races and I told him that I was in a little bit of trouble and I needed to borrow some money. And he said, oh my, and he went to the bad place. So my goodness, is everything okay? And I said, I think what I did to my poor husband coming down the lane technically is spousal abuse. I needed to get bailed out of jail. I was hitting my husband Jack so hard. He kept saying, okay, you got there. Can you stop hitting me now?
I don't even know where to start. The fact that he was kind of just glossed over, and I mean, let's be honest, Ashley, he hadn't won since last year's Northern Dancer.
Yes, he should have won the Halton.
Yeah, that's fair.
Into this race and ran a huge race, but yeah, you're right. He hadn't, and it was just he loves that turf course. He loves that turf course, and it was just the right day, the right time, the right ride, and he had some speed to run at, which really helped, and yeah, so it was a pretty special day. I'm also super happy for the connections, my dad, Bear. I mean, what a lovely horse to have in your stable.
It's so much so, and you could see that everybody was kind of, they weren't surprised at all, but there was a real elation involved here. I mean, for him, you know, to turn back a horse like Hawkbill again, and there was any other number of horses. McTal, I thought, made a lot of sense, getting Jose Ortiz aboard for Graham Motion. Graham has been finishing second, narrow seconds in these races constantly this year. This was a good group. You talk about his, you know, his aging. He's a 7-year-old, Ashley, and you know, this is usually the dividing line when a horse gets to be 7 and 8. You'll sometimes see a fall off, but arguably he was as good or better on Saturday than he was a year ago.
Well, and if you look at the horse, the English Illusion horse, you know, it's kind of the same thing. They just seem to mature and get better and better. He's stronger. He's fitter. He's sounder. He's kind of got over all of his little baby quirks that he had growing up. He definitely doesn't sleep as much. He knew he won that race. He was bouncing all over the place. Yeah, he's just been a wonderful, wonderful horse to have in the stable.
You frequently hear that when you get veteran geldings to this point, that they not train themselves, but that they take care of themselves differently. They don't have to be trained in the same manner, that they keep themselves fit. What has been, you know, some of the things you've done, you know, to keep him right and to maintain, you know, what at this point, 40 career starts. I mean, he's maintained form for a long time.
A very long time. Well, I have very, very, very fortunate to have an amazing crew. Nick Niketo Griffiths, that is his rider, is the only person that gets on his back aside from the jockey. Pablo, who is his groom, who's taken care of him since we bought him out of the yearling sale. My wonderful training center team that is, you know, when he goes for a break up there, they've always, you know, taken care of him and everything for some R&R. And my vet, who's been wonderful, and, you know, you do due diligence, you take blood, you do your thing, you check the legs daily. I think it's just general maintenance with him, and he's happy as a lark all the time. And if Nick says to me one day, "Boss, he doesn't want to gallop today." Okay, well then we jog, or we go for a walk, or we do something different. But they know him inside and out, so I'm really, really fortunate to say that I have a team that they know him just as much as I know him, that's for sure.
And that's a winning combination. And of course, we fold in Louis Contreras, and Louis's ride was just unbelievable. I mean, I talked the other day.
He went inside and just, I don't know if I was screaming, crying, hitting my husband, or a combination of all three. Yeah, it was a pretty nice ride. Lou did a great job.
Very much, and had the fun conversation the other day with Kevin Etard. The win with Starship Jubilee. You know, these days, the Canadian International Day and Woodbine Mile Day, you know, you've got everybody coming to town, everybody comes to TO, and they're looking to take the money with them. And so, you know, to have the local connections dig their heels in and turn away the invasions, that's always special. I thought that was really a big part of the day's results.
For sure. To be involved in a race, I know I'm not a rookie anymore, but I'm still in my own head very much a rookie. To be in the presence of those trainers that have won so many amazing things, and then to win in your own backyard, it adds to it for sure.
One of the things maybe that when he has not run well, one of the things that seems to bother him is a course with too much give to it. And I'm expecting, we haven't spoken since last year, but when he didn't run well in the international, that was over a very heavy going. Was that pretty much the result and the conclusion?
I begged, screamed, threw things, cried, yelled, ranted, raved. Please don't run this horse today. Please don't run this horse today. Please don't. Nope. We entered. We're running. And he hopped up and down like a little bunny rabbit instead of a racehorse. And I said, I asked you not to run today. But it just flat out defined the point that he does not like a soft turf. So if it's soft on International Day, then we don't participate. We'll find somewhere else to be. Because he really doesn't take to it well. And Louis just he wrapped up on him and took care of him because he said he wasn't getting anywhere anyway. So what was the point in trying to get there for nothing? It's not that he didn't ride well. It's not Louis' fault. He just said he was just hopping up and down and couldn't get a hold of the surface.
Well, the international comes up basically 4 weeks later, and so we'll watch and look forward to a try there, and hope that that the cool weather and wet weather stays away. Always a great day with the EP Taylor, and it's a terrific feature to wind down the season.
I would be lying if I didn't say that I was watching the Weather Channel like a junkie last week because of the storm that was. It may hit us.
It
may not. It might bypass. It might not. And I was, oh please, you can do whatever you want after the race. I don't care if we have a hurricane. Please just wait till after the race. And we got lucky, so that was nice.
Well, this was another terrific performance. Johnny Bear enhances his record, and you know you've had a good season overall, Ashley. Quite a few more seconds and thirds than you probably would have liked over the course of the Woodbine season.
The horses are running. Yeah, we're just shy. But that's racing luck. That's what we signed up for. So I'd rather them run second and come home safe so we can try and do it again than, you know, not come home well and can't try it again. So, yeah, we've been fortunate enough that way.
Well, between your father and between Bear and the whole team, obviously a special win, reprising in the Northern Dancer, and clearly Johnny Bear not slowing down anytime soon, and continues to perform at a high level, and look forward to the international.
I am too, and then we're currently planning on doing renovations in our backyard, which is not huge, but big enough. And I was thinking, well, what kind of fence can I put up in the backyard? Because once Johnny retires, he's going to live in my backyard.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. But that, you basically, I'm going to guess you're going to have the same kind of thing. Maybe, you know, give him the winter off and come back in the spring as an 8-year-old.
Well, I can say one thing. To win 2 grade ones was absolutely mind-boggling. I'm still not completely over it. But to maybe have the possibility to enter in a third is pretty special, too.
Well, you've done an amazing job with him, and not just maintaining form, but then peaking in the right spot, winning the Northern Dancer for a second time. Louis Contreras and Ashley Burness and... Johnny Bear, congratulations, and I'll make sure to, we'll call you next year if we don't talk to you after the Canadian International.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for calling.
I appreciate it. Ashley Burness and Johnny Bear, and last year, 9-1. This year, almost 17-1. And so many people kind of kicked themselves. I can tell you one thing, as we go to the break, Haskins next. Those of you that tuned into the Stats Race Lens webinar last Thursday, Dan Torshman gave this exacta out, and it was a handsome return, almost $150. He liked Mechtal, and I did too, but he included Johnny Bear prominently as his second choice. So tremendous job by Dan. And Ellis Starr gave everybody the push on Starship Jubilee, which was his pick in the Canadian. So the two big prices, my contribution, I guess, was stressing that Oscar performance was there for a reason, and that, you know, the pace scenario and the fact that Lynch felt compelled to bring him. But that was no price, obviously. Ellis and Dan with a terrific job utilizing Stats Race Lens for the two big prices on the card. We'll take a break. Steve Haskins standing by. We'll get a half hour in with Steve, talk about the Pennsylvania Derby. Maybe I might actually going to let Steve riff on the story that came out in more detail yesterday involving Larry Best, who made the call to sideline Instagram. Nothing wrong, doesn't need time off, but he's kind of retaining him toward the second year of his career, of his three-year-old year. I want to see what Steve's thoughts are. Back after this. Steve Haskins joins us. Rich Eng to follow as well. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.